You know, when you think about modern resort development, it's basically a giant game of Monopoly.
Right, yeah. You buy the land, upgrade the houses to hotels.
Exactly, and you just maximize profit on every single square inch. But for today's deep dive, we are looking at this really fascinating editorial about a place that survived 157 years.
All the way to the year 2026.
Yeah, and they did it by doing the exact opposite of that Monopoly strategy. I mean, think about it. If you own a stunning glacial lake and thousands of acres of pristine wilderness, why on earth would you deliberately put it, like, legally out of your own reach?
Well, that tension is exactly what makes the Mohonk Mountain House so unusual.
Yeah.
And to see how they kind of broke the standard real estate playbook, we really have to look back to 1869. That's when these twin Quaker brothers, Albert and Alfred Smiley, bought a tiny 10-room inn on Lake Mohonk.
In New York's Hudson Valley, right.
Exactly. And now, I mean, six unbroken generations of the Smiley family later, it is just this massive estate.
It's a behemoth, honestly. I was looking at the stats and it has turrets, a spa, 150 fireplaces,
Oh, wow. That's huge.
and something like 600 rocking chairs,
Yeah.
just lining these enormous Adirondack style verandas.
Right. And keeping a Victorian castle of that scale operational, it generates staggering carrying costs.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. And when you look at the history of the Catskills and the Adirondacks, that intense financial pressure to liquidate is actually what killed off almost every other comparable grand hotel.
Right, because they all eventually chopped up their surrounding land for, condos or golf courses just to cover their overhead.
Exactly. And the Smiley family, they faced those exact same pressures. But what saved them was this remarkably modest transaction in February 1963.
Okay, so what happened in 1963?
Well, Mabel Craven Smiley, who was a third-generation family member, she wrote a check for just $100.
Wait, $100? Seriously?
Just $100. And that single, seemingly tiny check seeded a brand new legal entity called the Mohonk Trust.
It's wild to think that a multi-million-dollar preservation effort was seeded by just a $100 check. I mean, jumping from a tiny cash deposit to successfully shielding thousands of acres of highly valuable real estate.
That requires some serious structural maneuvering.
It really does. So how did they legally scale that into a permanent shield?
Well, they systematically separated the real estate. Today, the entity that grew from that initial check, which is now the Mohonk Preserve, is 8,200 acres.
Wow, that's massive.
Right. And it operates entirely independently from the 1,325-acre hotel property.
So they're completely separate.
Completely. I mean, they share a road, but legally and financially, they are distinct entities. By moving the surrounding cliffs, the forests, and the lake access into a separate land trust, the family surrendered their private ownership rights to that entire buffer zone.
So they essentially firewalled the estate against their own future descendants.
Precisely. Because, in the hospitality business, the fundamental product isn't really the physical room.
No, it's the environment.
Exactly. Guests are paying for the view of the cliffs and the lake.
Right. And if the family had kept that buffer land on the hotel's balance sheet, a future generation facing bankruptcy might be forced by a court to liquidate it. Or, they might just be tempted by a developer's really lucrative offer.
Yep. And by placing the land into an inalienable trust, they removed their most valuable asset from the market entirely.
That's brilliant.
It is. A trust is governed by a strict mandate to preserve the land, which means the hotel operators legally cannot touch it to cover debts.
Wow.
They guaranteed the survival of the resort's core appeal because they made it legally impossible to own or sell the very view their business relies on.
That prescriptive non-modernity, just refusing to treat raw land as liquid inventory, it's really a masterclass in discipline. And I feel like that applies way beyond just real estate.
Oh, absolutely.
Like if you are building a business or a long-term career or even just managing your own creative output, there is always this pressure to cash in on your core assets when things get tight.
Yeah, the temptation is always there.
But Mohonk proves that sometimes the most valuable thing you possess is the thing you structurally restrict yourself from exploiting. You surrender short-term leverage to guarantee your long-term survival.
Which leaves you with a really critical question to consider about your own trajectory.
Ooh, I like that. What's the question?
Well, what is your view? I mean, what is that irreplaceable foundational asset in your life or work that you need to fiercely protect from ever being monetized, compromised, or sold off for a quick gain?
That is such a good thought to end on because, you know, while maximizing your real estate might win a board game, the real winning move in the long run might just be legally declaring Boardwalk a protected park.
Exactly.
So that no one, not even you, can ever build a hotel on it.